I was waiting for someone else to get up, but nobody did. You know, you were talking about before coffee and after coffee and all that. I just like to make sure people are awake, especially on rainy days like this. So I want to share something with you in opening the service today. I don't have much use for TV, right? I mean, most of what's on television is bad, but I did learn some things over my life on television. I would like to share some of those with you, and they may benefit you in your life. If you are ever being held at gunpoint, start running away just as the shooter starts shooting, and tip over a table, a couch, a chair, something like that, and hide behind it, because bullets cannot go through those things. They just can't. And odds are the shooter is a lousy shot anyway and will hit everything in the room except for you. But if you do get hit, don't worry. Bullet wounds apparently don't hurt very much. You just mainly shrug it off and wait for someone to bandage you up. You may also have a sudden urge to tell your friends that are with you, "Go on without me." Even with a non-fatal wound to the shoulder. But don't bother. They never do. They stay, and they say something like, "I could never leave you." And another thing I learned is guns are rarely of any use after they run out of ammo. They just throw them away because apparently you can't reload them, you can't sell them, and they're just not worth anything, so you just toss them away. Another thing I learned from television, if you're in a building and you need to jump out of the building, say you're on the third or the fourth floor, don't worry about it. Just jump, because there's always a nice soft dumpster down below. And there will never be broken glass or wood or carpentry junk in there or dirty needles or dead animals. There'll just be garbage bags full of foam and used clothing. So you'll be fine. And couple more things. When you hear a scary noise at night, something really scary, and you're in a dark place, you must go and investigate. You just have to go check it out, right? And the ventilation system of a building is a perfect hiding place. No one will ever think of looking for you up there. And if you watch much television or movies, you find out that you can get anywhere in the building from the ventilation shaft, providing you're small enough to fit in it in the first place. And a couple more things. Even when you're driving down a perfectly straight road, it is necessary to turn the steering wheel vigorously from time to time to the left and to the right. And you barely have to look at the road even when you're going around curves, so you can focus all your attention on talking to the people that you're with, you know. And one last thing, and this is an important one. All bombs are filled with electronic timing devices with large red readouts, so you know exactly when the bomb's going to go off and when you need to start running. Okay, so if you don't get anything else from me today, I hope that helps you in life. I hope none of you ever find yourself in those positions, but turn in your Bibles, if you brought them, to Acts chapter 11. I'm going to be looking at a lot of different scriptures, but Acts chapter 11, a few verses there, is what I'm actually going to preach from. And the title of my message today is His Hand on My Life. It is important for all of us to have the hand of God on our lives. Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And listen especially to verse 21. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. We need, all of us, the hand of God on our lives and with us as we go through this life. Let me pray for you quickly. Father, would you speak to our hearts in a special way today? Would we understand how important it is to have your hand resting on us wherever we go, whatever we do, as individuals and as a body of believers? May your hand be upon us and guide us. I ask it in your name. Amen. Have you ever sung the song, he's got the whole world in his hands? Yeah, I was thinking, should this be the message I preach? And my wife and I got in the car to leave this morning, and this is the gospel truth. Turn the radio on, and they were singing, he's got the whole world in his hands. So I figured God's saying, that's it. That's what you need to preach. I'm not going to sing the song for you so you can relax. But I think it's important that we have the hand of God on us. The hand of God was with them. We need his hand on our lives today in the world that we live in. You all no doubt remember the importance of someone's hand upon your life. Maybe a hand on your shoulder when you're going through a difficult place. Maybe a hand on the top of your head telling you it's going to be okay. Maybe a hand in another place not so comfortable where you needed to be corrected. I know my mother used to lay hands on me at times. And most of the time I deserved it. My sister's here. I probably didn't deserve it all the time though, right, Joanne? No, I was a pretty good kid. But I remember my mom putting her hand on me more than a few times, and it wasn't always something that I wanted to have happen. But my mom was kind of a spiritual lady. She had a belt hanging on a nail, and above it was a scripture verse that says, I need thee every hour. I'm kind of kidding you. But the touch of a loved one on, the hand of a loved one on your life makes a difference, doesn't it? And it makes a difference to encourage you, to comfort you, to help you. It makes a difference to guide you. I mean, there were times in my life when I didn't want to do something, and my wife would push me and say, go do it. Go do it. You can do it. But it's okay to have that hand guiding you and directing you. If you want to keep Acts 11 marked, we'll be jumping around, but we'll come back to there. But just a few pages back in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 25, this is written. So the other disciples told him, this was after Jesus came back from the cross, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, meaning Thomas, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. It was important for Thomas, after the death and the crucifixion and the resurrection and all of that, to be with God and to see God in himself and to put his hands in God's hands. And I believe it's important for God to have his hand on my life. I would not ever preach if I didn't feel God's hand was upon me. I would not ever witness to anyone if I did not feel God's hand was on me, guiding me and directing me. I want God's hand on my life. I want God's hand on your life. I want God's hand on your family, on your children, on your grandchildren. I want God's hand on your marriage. I want God's hand on you when you go to work. I want God's hand on you when you go to school. I want God's hand to be with you everywhere you go, because I think it's important. Verse 21 again from Acts chapter 11, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Isn't that great? If the church at Antioch would grow and become everything that God wanted it to be, something had to happen. God's hand had to be upon them. It didn't say, and they were blessed with great preachers, and the Lord added to the church. It didn't say that. It didn't say that they were blessed with great musicians and singers like you all are. It didn't say that. It didn't say that they had wonderful programs and great organization and a wonderful building. It didn't say any of that. It said God's hand was upon them and the Lord added to their church. And I believe God wants to do that for all churches. I believe that God wants to bless all individual Christians in a positive, uplifting way when his hand rests on their life. when miracles happen, when lives are changed, when mighty things begin to happen, it is because the hand of God is on your life. Now, what does it mean to have the hand of God on my life? I'm going to give you a few things about that this morning. The first one, and maybe the most important, to have the hand of God on my life means to have God's power. To have the hand of God on my life means to have God's power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses to Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This area that we live in, the places we work and go to school, are our Jerusalem. Acts chapter 11 again, verse 16 this time, says, "Then I remembered when the Lord had what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but he comes who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Having the hand of God on your life means to have God's power. What does that mean to have God's power? It gives you, I'll just give you a few things that it helps you with. It gives you power over sin. Romans chapter 6, you don't have to look all these up, just trust me, you can write them down and look them up later. But Romans chapter 6, verse 14, you can have power over sin. It says, "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." To have your have the hand of God on your life means you'll have power over sin. That simply means you don't have to sin anymore. You don't have to. You might stumble, you might make mistakes, you might err some in your walk with the Lord, but you don't have to if God's hand is upon you and you have God's power through His Holy Spirit in you. You don't want to sin, do you? I mean, you don't answer that. I don't think any Christian wants to sin. I don't think any Christian wants to be disobedient to God. I don't think any Christian wants to say and do things that are not pleasing to God. But sometimes in the world that we live in, that things get so overwhelming, there's times that we stumble and make mistakes. But let me tell you something this morning. When God's Holy Spirit is in you, and when His hand rests upon you, you can have the power over sin. You don't have to sin anymore. Now, I'm sure that doesn't come as a revelation to any of you. You've got a good pastor, I'm sure, that has taught you that many times from the pulpit. But you just need to remember it. When the enemy comes and tries to get you to give in, you just need to remember that you don't have to sin anymore. To have God's power on us also means that we have power over self. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25, it says this, "Then Jesus says to His disciples, 'If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me will find it.'" Power over self. You and I need to remember that this life is not about ourselves. This life is not about you and I as individuals. This life that we live as Christians is to be workers in God's kingdom to move His message forward. And the one way that that begins to happen is when self gets out of the way and God begins to go into our lives and guide us and direct us. Too many Christians walking around today thinking only about themselves. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, one of my favorite verses says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in true humility consider others better than yourself." It's not about me. Not about you. It's about God working in us to make a difference in the world. So to have God's power in my life, His Holy Spirit, means that I have power over sin and I have power over self. And in order to get the power over both of those things, the sin, the self, then I need to have power over Satan. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Don't you love that verse? Who's in the world? Who's the controller of the world today? It's the devil. But you can have power over Satan because the one that's in you is greater than the one that's in the world. Verse 4 of chapter 5 in 1 John says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Satan is a defeated foe. When Jesus went to the cross, we celebrated that over the last few weeks, he won the final victory over Satan. That is the power of God now that is available to every Christian. When his hand is over me, when his spirit guides me, I can have power over Satan. And the hand of God on your life gives you power today to overcome sin, to overcome self, and to overcome Satan. Also, to have the power of, to have the hand of God on my life means to have protection. The Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Beginning in verse 27, Jesus speaking. To have the hand of God on my life means to have protection. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall not perish. No one, did you get that? No one can snatch them from my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. Now, I'm not a Baptist, and I'm not preaching Baptist doctrine. I'm a Nazarene like most of you here. But I believe that my salvation is secure if the hand of God is on my life. I believe that nothing can take my salvation from me but me, myself. As long as God's hand is on me and I'm walking with him, trying to please him, trying to do what he wants, nothing can take my salvation away from me. I am protected in God. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I have his protection on me. Romans 8:31, you know what it says? If God be for me, who can be against me? Nobody. If I follow God, if I keep my hand in the hand of God, I am protected and there is not an enemy in the world that can harm me. Did you hear that? If you're walking with God, there's not an enemy in the world that can harm you because he protects you, he surrounds you, he encases you, and nothing can get through. His hand upon me. I have the hand of my protector on me, taking care of me. Listen to this story because it just illustrates the protection of God's hand so beautifully. It's about a mother who's out in the yard with her little child. It's a spring day and it's kind of a cool day like this. And they're working out there and the little boy comes running to his mother. And she goes, "What's wrong?" And he goes, there's a bee. And she goes, "It's okay." Now the bee, see, it's going real slow because it's a cold day and they don't fly very fast when it's cold. So this bee is buzzing all around. The little boy's screaming. And she goes, "It's okay. You're going to be fine." He goes, "Do something." So the bee comes just kind of floating by. And the mother reaches out and grabs the bee. And she holds on to it for a minute. And the little boy just stands there looking at her. And then she opens up her hand and the bee flies away. And the little boy goes, Mommy, it's still here. And she goes, "It's okay." He goes, "What do you mean it's okay? It's still there." And she opened up her hand again and she showed him the stinger was in her hand. She goes, "It can't hurt you anymore. I took the stinger away. The bee cannot hurt you anymore. It's just buzzing around, making noise, but it can't hurt you anymore." What's it say in Corinthians? "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" You see, I don't mean to bring it down so much to that level, but God took the sting, Christ took the sting out of the devil when he defeated him on the cross. I have the power of God's protection on my life when his hand is upon me. Isn't that great news this morning for you? To know that the enemy cannot hurt you. He took the sting out of the enemy. He took the sting out of death. He took the sin out of the world and put it on himself and died for me so that I wouldn't have to go through all of that. So to have God's hand on my life means I have his power and it means I have his protection. But I want to tell you something this morning. Even hearing that, even knowing that, you need to understand that your enemy Satan will come back to you day after day after day telling you that you're losing, that you're inadequate, that you can't have power over sin, that you can't have power over self. You know what it says in John 8:44? He is a liar. He is the father of lies. He has nothing but lies to tell you. There's no truth to it. So he just keeps lying to you. You're not good enough. You're not adequate. God's not going to help you. You're not going to make it. You're not going to overcome this problem at home. You're not going to do away with that addiction that you have. You're not going to have victory over that relationship that you're struggling with. You're not going to be able to be a witness for me. You're not going to, not going to, not going to, not going to. And all he's doing is lying. Yeah, that's right. So you and I need to say amen. We don't have to listen to this anymore. He's a liar. So we have power when God's hand is on us. And we have protection when his hand is upon us. And another thing, the hand of God upon us means that he is my provider. When I have God's hand upon me, I know that he is my provider. Philippians 4:19, a familiar verse. Some of you can probably quote it. My God shall supply all your needs, all my needs, according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me to know that my God can supply all my needs? I come to my Heavenly Father and I say, now, Father, put your hand upon this head of mine, upon this life of mine. Would you provide my every need? Take care of my physical needs, will you, Lord? I'll do it, son. Take care of my financial needs. Will you do it, Lord? I'll do it, son. Remember, if you're walking with him and you got his power in your life and you're living for him, he'll do these things. Take care of my family, Lord. I'll do it, son. And over again, God says, I will do it. When his hand is upon us, we can have protection and we can be provided for. I have a kind of weird thing that I do, not very often. Well, I do a lot of weird things, but this particular thing, many of you probably pray when you're in the car, right? You ever lay hands on yourself when you're praying? Yeah, somebody told me that many, many years ago, and from time to time I'll do that. I'll be driving along and I'll be like, Lord, I'm just putting this hand on this shoulder and I'm not looking at the road because you don't have to. And I'll say, Lord, would you take care of this shoulder of mine? You know, the pain, it's got this impingement, and yeah, I use all these medical terms. And he goes, I understand, it's going to be okay. Then I might say, Lord, I worry about my heart sometimes. You know, because so many people that I've known and loved and cared for have had heart problems. Lord, would you take care of my heart and keep it strong? And I say, Lord, will you take that? No, I don't do that. I don't pray for my eyes when I'm driving. But it's okay to pray specifically like that and say, Lord, I have this need. Will you take care of it? Will you take care of it? Lord, you're my provider and I need this. Will you do it? And I love to know and to believe that God says, I'll do it, my child, as long as I am asking for the things that are in God's will. I don't ask for $3 million mansions and $100,000 cars and those sorts of things. I just ask God to meet my needs and take care of me and walk with me and give me what I need day after day. And I know that when God's hand is upon my life, he will be my protector. He will be my provider. Aren't you thankful for that today? To have God's hand on my life means I'll have power, means I'll have his protection. It means I'll be provided for. And to have God's hand on my life, and the last thing this morning is that I will begin to see things from God's perspective. It's great to have his power and his protection and his provision on my life. But as Christians today, and if I want to become like those in the book of Acts at the church of Antioch and do great things because God's hand was on me, then I need to see things from God's perspective. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, a familiar verse, many of you know it. And we know that all things work together for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know that part. But then in verse 29, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. I like to know that everything in my life works together for good. I like to know that God's going to take care of me, provide me, give me power, and give me provision and protection. But then it says, I'm to become like his son. So that means that I begin to see things and hear things and look at things from Jesus' perspective. If God's hand rests on me, I become more like Christ. You are predetermined, predestined to be like Jesus when his hand rests on you. How do you view the things in your life? Do you see God working and shaping in your life? He is. How do you view what's happening in the world? Do you see God working and shaping in this world? He is. We look around us and we see the decay and the things that are going on in our world, and it's easy to get discouraged. Everything is running out of control. No, it's not. The enemy is winning. No, he's not. There's no hope. There's no hope for this world. Yes, there is. When we begin to see things from God's perspective, when we begin to realize that he still sits on the throne, then there is hope. I don't understand all of it, people. I don't understand everything that's going on in the world and all that's happening. I have a few friends that I talk with from time to time. I have more than a few, but... Well, you be quiet. Tracy, right? I told you could just thump her in the head. I have a few friends that I talk to about things that are going on in the world, and we see the hopelessness at times. I need to remind them, and I tell them from time to time, but he is still in control. If I see things from Christ's perspective, things don't look so bad anymore. He's still in control. I heard something great. I went to see my sister a couple weeks ago at the funeral. How you doing, sis? I hope that's not a premonition, because that's a premonition. That's one of my sisters. I went to see my sister at the nursing home. And as I was coming out of the nursing home, there was a gentleman getting into a van. And I said, so how you doing today? And he goes, I don't know yet, but I'm feeling optimistic. And I thought, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. When I look at the world, I don't know what's going to happen. It seems to be out of control. I don't know for sure what's going to happen. But I'm feeling optimistic because I'm going to try to see things through Christ's eyes. He's shaping me. I don't understand all that he does. But he's changing me and helping me to begin to see things the way that he sees them. As I was going through my growing up years and early years in my married life, I dealt with my children and the things that were going on, just as many of you have with children and grandchildren. You see them get sick. You see them hurting. You see them struggling. You don't always know how it's going to work out. But if I see things through Christ's eyes, I begin to get shaped and molded into what he would have me to be, and I begin to have more confidence in him, and I begin to put more trust in him, and I become more like Jesus. And then I begin to see things through God's perspective. And I say, Lord, I don't know how this is all going to work out with this situation, but I trust you. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen with my children or my grandchildren, but I trust him. And the more you begin to see things from Christ's perspective, know that he loves you, and know that he cares for you, the better you will be as a Christian walking in this world. Would you like to have God's hand on your life this morning? Would you like to have his power and his protection and his provision? Would you like to see things from his perspective? There's something you can do to move that along. I will have God's hand on my life if I honor the Lord. I will have God's hand on my life if I spend time in this book. If I try to learn more about him and his will, if I try to follow him wherever he leads me, then I will begin to have more and more his hand on my life. I'm not going to do this because you're bigger than me. But I'll take my grandson sometimes and he'll go, where are we going? And I'll just take him by the back of the head and I'll say, just keep going. Keep me, not that way, this way, this way. And you know, that's kind of what I'd like God to do with me. Just put his hand on the back of my head and say, keep going this way. Keep going. Oh, look at this car over. No, go this way. Go this. And I'd like to have God just keep pushing me in the direction that he wants me to go in. And sometimes if I get out of line too much, he may have to just kind of thump me on the head a little bit. Hope that's not sacrilegious, but sometimes he needs to get my attention again and say, no, this is the way I want you to go. So I might need to spend more time in his word, understanding more of what his will is. I always will need to spend more time in prayer to find out what his will is. But if you really want God's hand on your life, just get in a line. Just say, okay, God, lead me, direct me, guide me. And it begins when we turn our lives over to him. I'm guessing most of you have done that. But as we close out this morning, I just want to have a prayer for you. I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you've never invited Christ to be your Savior, that's when he puts his hands on you and says, child, I died for you. I rose again. I had the victory over the enemy for you. If you want my hand on your life, it begins when you give yourself to me. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you've never given your heart to Jesus, it's a matter of saying, Father, forgive me for any sin in my life. I know you died for me. I invite you into my heart this morning. If you're here this morning and you want to do that, you raise your hand and I'll lead you in a prayer. And you pray it to yourself, to the Lord, and I'll lead out. Anybody at all need to do that this morning? That's good. Look up here again, please. I believe that most of you knew the Lord. But maybe you're facing some things in your life that sometimes get a bit overwhelming. Joking with someone before the service about having a budget, and you've got to take a little out of here and a little out of there and know what you're doing with it. Maybe you're struggling financially. Maybe you're dealing with some relationships. Maybe you're dealing with some physical needs. And you'd like this morning just to say, God, I need a little more of your power. I need a little more of your protection. I need a little more of your provision for this thing in my life. Bow your heads, and I'll give you just a moment. You pray that to the Lord right now, and then I'll close in prayer before our musicians close. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word today that has spoken to our hearts. We are thankful that you gave us an example of the church in Acts, in the book of Acts, the church of Antioch. When your hand rested on them, they began to see mighty things happen for the kingdom. Father, we know that when your hand rests upon us, you fill us with your Holy Spirit if we allow you to. You give us the power we need to do things miraculously in the world that we live in. You provide for our needs in a very, very special way. We thank you for all of those things that you will do for us when your hand is upon us. We also know, Lord, that when your hand is truly upon us and we have your power, we have your protection, and we have your provision, that we need to grow up as Christians and begin to see things from your perspective. That means, Lord, that we need to see that you're still in control no matter what's going on in the world. That means to see that no matter what we're dealing with in our lives this morning, as some have prayed to you just now, that you are still in control. And I pray, Father, that you would help each one who prayed a prayer about whatever this morning to know that you'll give them the power that they need, that you'll protect them, and that you'll provide for them. Thank you, Jesus, so much for everything that you do for us. My prayer today is that your hand will be on me, to be sure. But I also pray that I'll have the perspective that you have, and I'll see a world with needs, and I'll do everything in my power with your hand on me to help meet those needs. Thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful crowd. Thank you for this church. We pray that when we leave this place today, we'll see the world as you do.
You guys believe today that God is in control? You believe he has his hand on your life? Would you stand and praise him one more time, please? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. And we can add, and the hand of the Lord will be upon you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.